The church say amen once again. God has been good once again. God has blessed us to be here this morning. And we say that each and every time we stand here in the mornings. And we just want you to know that God is good. He's not good sometimes. He's good all the time. And all the time, God is good. There are a number of people that are out today. They are traveling. They're at different functions or just traveling for whatever their reasons might be. And we want to keep those people in our prayers, those brothers and sisters in our prayers. We want to be happy and be glad that God has allowed those of us that are able to be here this morning. And let us thank God for that. Let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O righteous and wonderful Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning, O Lord. We thank You because You didn't have to wake us up this morning. You didn't have to send grace to stand by our bedside last night. And then You didn't have to gently but also ever present wake us up this morning. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for the blessings that You have given us. Thank You for the blessings of life. Thank You for the blessing of food, shelter, as well as clothing. Thank You this morning, Father, for all of those who are in attendance at the services this morning. Thank You for the services that we have rendered thus far, and we pray for the services that shall be rendered from this point on. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for those who may be sick and not able to be with us this morning. We pray for those who are able to be with us but are still not with us. We pray that they would be with us at the next appointed time. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for the leaders of this congregation, and we pray for them and their families, and we also pray for the brothers who have taken part in the services thus far, and we pray for those who shall come from this point on. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for the husbands and the wives who are raising their children this morning. We thank You and ask You to continue to bless them, O Heavenly Father, that they may do the things that are right, righteous in Thy sight, O Lord. And we thank You, O Heavenly Father, because You sent Your Son down into this world to save us from our own selves. We thank You, O Lord, and we pray that as we worship this morning, that we would worship in none other than but spirit and in truth. And we thank You, O Father. Please now, my Heavenly Father, continue to bless us all, be with us all, and watch over and keep us. It is in Your Son Jesus' name that we ask all of these blessings. Let the entire congregation say in their loud voice, amen and thank You, Lord. This morning the scripture was read for your hearing from the Philippians book. The chapter is number 3 and the verses was 12 through verse number 14. We shall reread that, but let us go to it and reread it now. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count myself, not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us talk for a few moments this morning from pressing on. Pressing on. How many of us have been in the position of wanting to erase our past? Wishing we could start all over again. Maybe it was because of a decision that you made 25 years ago. Or maybe it was a statement that you made to someone on yesterday. Unfortunately, we can't go back in time. There's nothing that we can do about that's behind us but try to make it better in the future and in the present. There's nothing that we can do with our lives today that we can change yesterday. As our text today will show us, if we just keep pressing on, if we are to press on, we must make some changes. And it doesn't make any difference how little nor how much time we have left. What matters is how we live in the present that will determine how we live in the future. The teacher of this particular text is Paul. And as his word instructs us, the first thing we must learn to do is forget about the past. He says we must forget the past. He said, I have learned that far too many of us, too many of us are like Paul was. He said, I have learned. See, Bible study is God's Word is a learning process once again. Too many of us like to live in the past, and while we are caught up in the past, we tend to remember the more unproductive things and times in our lives. We don't seem to focus so much on the productive times or the productive things. Not for once am I suggesting that we forget our precious memories and lessons life has taught us, but rather when he said in verse number 12, look at it again. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that, if that I may apprehend that for which Christ, which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not once again suggesting that you forget those precious memories, and we all got some sort of precious memory. It may be a day that when you went to school back in your youth that you remember something precious that happened in school. It may be the day that you met your spouse. It may be the day that you lost one of your dearest loved ones. But whatever makes these memories precious to you, hold on to those memories and let the unproductive memories go. Sometimes when we think ourselves to be perfect, we are living a far distance from reality. The teacher explains how that he follows after the one who took hold of us before we were able to take hold of him. And somebody may ask the question, well, how do we know this? Because in John 4 and verse number 19, it points out to us that we love him because he first loved us. It was him who loved us before we were able even to love him. He loved us while we were sewer dwellers. He loved us when we were unlovely. It is his love that should be our motivation to become and live the life of a Christian. And just in case you need a reason to press on, look at Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28, where the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Not our purpose, but his purpose. It is not enough to simply say that we love God. We must show our love by forgetting the past evil things and keep pressing on. One thing that I've come to know in this life is that many times our older Christian brothers and sisters, and I'm going to rephrase that, many times I've come to know that many of our Christian brothers and sisters, but in particular, sometimes our older brothers and sisters, think that life in the past is much better and that there is nothing left to live for. They feel that they've lived their lives and there is nothing ahead of them that they need to live for. But I got news for you. You just keep on living and let your life make its way through its course. Let it run its course. And I know that as we get older, things tend to happen to us as we get older. We tend to get ill. We tend to have aches and pains and spots and places that we never knew existed in our bodies before. We wonder, why is this happening to me now? Well, I'll tell you, you just live on and things may happen to you. When some of our brothers and sisters get to a point where they don't feel that they have anything left for, tell them that their dreams are still behind them and there are more to come. Tell them that nothing has faded the memories they've had. Tell them that they, even though they've been disappointed in life, even though they've had heartaches in this life, but if they would but just keep pressing on, forgetting the past and live until God says it's enough, life would hold meaning, a new meaning for them. Look at the text again. Look at verse number 13, if you will. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. In other words, let it go. If you got a sour memory, try to let that go and try to live a better life than you have had in the past. And sometimes, just sometimes, our past life haunts us in the present. And it's like sometimes we can't forget what we used to do and what we used to be and how we used to live. But Paul said it best in that 13th verse again. He said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You've got to let the past go. And I know it's difficult because I have problems letting it go. But we must let it go. We must also learn to forgive. So many folk, and don't look at me this morning like you've never heard me saying this before, because I've said this many times. We must learn to forgive. We must forgive. So many folk, including some Christian folk, go through life apparently not knowing the meaning of the word forgive. And I want you to watch how Jesus summed it up in Matthew chapter 6. Go over to Matthew chapter 6, if you will. Matthew chapter 6, around verse number 14. And around verse number 15. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 14. It says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespass. See, it's a give and take thing, if you will. If you don't forgive me, then how is God going to forgive you? And how can you say that you even love me if you can't forgive me? And I know that there are those who, especially those who are married, sometimes it's a difficult position to get yourself into when you ask your spouse for forgiveness. And I know forgiveness means that, should mean that you say to that person, look, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to commit that act. I didn't mean to do what I wasn't supposed to do. But I'm sorry. And then it should be all over. But there are some who don't know the meaning of that word. And if you just simply but go to verses number 14 and 15 of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus showed us the consequences of not forgiving. According to something I read just a little while ago, medical science and medical scientists and those who work with people with mental disorders, they say that many mental disorders are caused by bitter and unforgiving spirits. They say that some of this could be alleviated if we would allow our spirits to be righteous and righteous. They say that an unforgiving and an evil spirit, a bitter and an unforgiving spirit, will cause you to have sometimes mental issues. Now, I'm not saying if you're angry with someone, you're going to have a mental problem. All I'm saying is what they quoted, and I just quoted what they said. And all I'm saying to us is that we need to leave the past and let it go. Now, by no means am I saying to you this morning that if you don't forgive someone for doing something to you, or if you've done something to someone, you expect someone to forgive you. And if you expect forgiveness, you've got to learn to give forgiveness. If you don't, you're in big trouble. The Bible certainly tells us that God will not forgive us in verse number 15. It doesn't say that He might not forgive us. It says that God will not forgive us. It does not say that he may forgive you on second thought, but He says that He will not forgive you. God the Father will not forgive us. We are told to forgive humanly to those who trespass against us so that we may receive divine forgiveness from God. God forgives us because He loved us, and He still does. And I tell you from time to time, I don't know how God loves some of us. It's a difficult situation for many of us to love one another. And, you know, I sometimes think that people just, they study hatred. They study how I can dislike someone that I don't even know. They study how to show hatred toward one another. But then if you don't learn to forgive, and I mean forgive them all, everybody, everything, especially if you want to be forgiven. Now, I'm not talking to anybody in the church house this morning. But if there is anyone in the church house today that has been hurt by someone else, please call me tonight or call me at your earliest convenience. If you have never, I should say, if you have never been hurt by anyone, if you have never faced disappointments in this life, if you have never faced heartaches in this life, please give me a call and let me know how you've done it. Now, I know some of the young folk won't know what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about you older folk. I'm talking to you that have lived for a little while. If you've never been hurt or never been disappointed by anyone in this life, then something is wrong. Something is wrong with you, as a matter of fact. You don't recognize disappointments and heartaches. All I'm saying today is that if you have been hurt, you need to forgive so that you may be forgiven and keep on pressing on. Look at the text again. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. You see what he says? He said, I do this. Not that I'm going to think about this. He said, but I do this. I do forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. In other words, you cannot live in the past. You've got to live in the current day, in the present day. If I thought about all the people that have disappointed me in life, and perhaps I should rephrase that and say, if I look at all the people perhaps I have disappointed in this life, perhaps I would go around with my head hung down looking at the ground all the time, never seeing where I'm going because I'm not looking forward, I'm looking down. But Paul said, I forget about those things. This one thing I do, forget the past and come on and live in today. If you have never been hurt, if you have never been disappointed, please tell me how. If you have never been hurt and you have never been disappointed, then maybe you've been doing all the hurting and disappointing yourself. Because if you have never been hurt, then you have hurt someone else. If you've never been disappointed, you perhaps have disappointed someone else. So we must learn to forgive as we move through this life. We must learn that God is on our side if we would allow Him to be. Now in the Bible lesson this morning, in the Bible study this morning, it was talking about how we must confess Jesus Christ in the book of Romans. We must confess Christ into our lives. That means that we must allow Him to, we must be obedient to Him. We must learn to be accepting of Him, and we must allow ourselves to be turned over to Him. And what does that mean? That simply means go into the Word of God and start living like the Word of God teaches us to live. And I would be the first one to tell us that we're not going to be perfect. Oh, there are so many people today that think that living the life of a Christian means that I'm perfect, but you're not perfect. Didn't Paul say, I have not gotten there yet? I have not gotten there. I am not apprehended. I'm on my way, but I haven't gotten there yet. That's why he says to press on. Look at verse number 14. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. And then when you go back, he said in verse number 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which I also apprehended for Christ Jesus. In other words, I'm going to try to live my life the way Christ Jesus lived His life and taught me to live through His Word. And then there are some who say, well, you know, it's kind of a hard thing for me to let something go. Well, guess what? If you don't let it go, you'll carry it straight to your grave with you, and it'll be there to meet you on Judgment Day. It'll be there to meet you when you can't do any more to correct it. It'll be there to meet you when you don't have an opportunity to straighten out how you live. So we must forgive one another. Then we must have faith. First, our faith must be in God. We must put our faith in God. And go over to Mark chapter 11 with me, if you will. In Mark chapter 11, and around about verse number 22, I want you to look at what the Bible says in Mark 11, verse number 22. And Jesus answering them said unto them, have faith in God. Now, I don't need you to have a lot of faith in me. You need to have faith in God. You see, I need to have my own faith in God, just like you need to have your own faith in God. Jesus, in Matthew and Mark chapter 11, he was telling the story of the fig tree. There was a barren tree of which he spoke about in verse number 14, around about verse number 14. He spoke of that tree that it should never provide fruit for any man to eat from it, because when he went to it looking for the fruit of the tree, there was none there. So he somewhat cursed the tree that it should never bear fruit again. And he used this tree as a teaching tool to look at the church of Israel at that time. And the Jewish church, which was to be likened unto that fig tree, was all dried up and useless. Just like some of us, and I'm not calling any names or talking about anybody here, but we're dried up and useless if we don't live the Word of God. But I want you to notice what he said again in verse number 22. He said, have faith in God. This was in response to Peter calling to remembrance in verse number 21, where Peter said unto him, this is the same fig tree that you cursed is withered away, which thou curses is withered away. When you don't live the Word of God, you're like that withering tree. If you live your life without God, you are slowly withering away with no help in sight. We too must have this faith in God. We must believe that when we have faith, we can better understand how that the impossible is possible with God. We must have faith in others as well, because if one person, just one person in your entire life has disappointed us, that doesn't mean that all people will disappoint us. If one person has disappointed you and caused you heartache and pain, that doesn't mean that the next person that you meet will disappoint you and cause you heartache and pain. So in other words, if you went to a doctor and that doctor tells you that your illness is hopeless, you ought to get another opinion. In Mark chapter 5, around about verse number 25, the Bible has a story in there. We find Jesus curing a woman who had been sick for 12 years. Can you imagine? She had been sick for 12 whole years. She had went to doctor after doctor. She had given up everything that she had. The only thing she had left was that same illness, for it had not been cured. She had went, I would imagine, all over the place. And, you know, getting around back in those days was not an easy task. But she had went to all of these doctors, and none of them were able to cure. But just one touch, the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ, and her faith caused her to be healed. Jesus said the power was in her faith to heal her, not because she touched his robe, but because the faith she had in the wearer of the robe. Isn't that right, church? So when you think about it, when all hope in man is gone, we can turn to God. When all hope in your mother and your father are gone, we can turn to God. When hope in your husband or your wife is gone, we can turn to God. When hope in your children are gone, and your fellow man, when hope in your fellow man is gone, we can turn to God. All we have to do is turn to God. You know what, in verse number 3 of our text, let me get back over there, verse number 14 of our text, he says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. I press on, in other words. I'm not stopping now, even though I've been disappointed. Even though things are not right, I'm not stopping now. I'm going to keep on going, because I know that there's faith. My faith in Christ will get me through whatever crises I have to go through. Even though one has almost completed the race. You know, when one has almost completed the race, Is he supposed to stop running or almost stop running? The answer is no, he is not supposed to stop running. You need to tell yourself that until you reach the finish line, it ain't over. It ain't over until you reach the finish line. If we reach the finish line, then you stop running. So, and I know some of us, we get so down and so discouraged, including me. I'll be the first to tell you that you can become discouraged and you can become down and you can become sad and you can start feeling sorry for yourself and you can cause yourself to stop running the race. And if you stop running the race, you've got some problems on your hand, church. If you stop running the race, you've got to tell yourself the same thing that Paul told the people that in Philippi. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Because there's an eternal prize if you make it all the way through until the finish line. If you quit ahead of time, you're not in the running for the prize. Isn't that right, church? You don't stop running until you reach the finish line. We must realize that at the end, there is a gift for the believers. It is the gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus. We've got to keep on pressing on. And somebody said, well, pressing on, preacher, is not an easy task. Pressing on requires something of me. Pressing on means that I have to give up something that I like to do. Pressing on means that I can't live my life the way I'm used to living. Pressing on means that I have to let something behind me go. Pressing on means that there is something better for me ahead of me than what may have been behind me. When I think about it, I think about all of the people that were running this race before I got here and before you got here. I think about all of those who will be running the race after you and I leave here. And I think about those who have already given up the race. But that's not a good thing. As long as you got breath in your body, as long as you have blood running through your veins, you need to press on toward the high mark. You need to make the mark. You need to press on. And as I'm pressing on and as you're pressing on, we've got to remember just one thing, that we're trying to become like Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? When I think about in my own life, and I use my own life because I know my life better than I know your life. When I think about it, I look at the things that have disappointed me in life. And then I look at the times that I have disappointed others in life. And I think to myself, there must be a better way. There must be a better time ahead for me. There must be something that I'm missing and that I'm not getting. That's what brought me back to the church. After being out for years, I realized I needed to get back to the church. I realized that God is the right way to go. God, if you put the word righteousness in the dictionary, there ought to be a picture of Jesus Christ. If I put myself in there, I would put a picture of not quite there yet. Not quite there, but I'm trying. I'm trying to get there. And when you think about it, church, you all ought to be trying too. As I come to a close this morning, as I hasten on to my close, I say to the church this morning, if you're not pressing on, you ought to start pressing on. If you haven't been pressing on, you ought to start pressing on. If you have dropped down a little bit and not pressing on as hard as you used to press on, you know, sometimes things as we age take a little bit more effort. So consider giving it a little bit more effort. And don't tell me you're not aging, because if you're living, you're aging. Whether you're 12 or 90, you're still aging. So keep on pressing on. Press on that you may win the prize, that you may claim the prize. Press on that you may live a better life. Press on that you may see Jesus in peace. Keep on pressing on, church. And if you're not a member of the Lord's body, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. What a lovely day to dip in the water. People are going out to the lakefront to dip in the water. We can dip you in the water right here for Christ, right this morning. And if you are a member, but you've lost your walk, you just don't seem to be where you need to be, you need to ask the Lord to forgive you, then come forward. Ask the church to pray for you, that you may turn your life around. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.